call. I had some technical difficulties. It kept kicking me out for some reason. But anyway, we are here. Welcome. It is November 11th, 2009. My name is Kurt Mortensen. This is the Persuasion Call of the Week. For those that are new, remember spending, 10-15 minutes talking about some content, things you can be, saying things you need to learn, and then we're going to talk about application and, of course, open it up for questions. These calls are always posted at persuasioniq.com/KurtCalls, K-U-R-T-C-A-L-L. That's where they're at. So let's get into some content, talk about application, and then we will go into Q&A. Let's talk about what I call the cold brick wall of resistance. Things that you're doing, things that you're saying that create great tension and indifference in your prospects. You have to understand that everything you do and everything you say can either attract or repel the person that you're talking to. That's the critical thing you need to understand. And we've talked about this before, that up to 95% of persuasion involves a subconscious trigger, a gesture, a word choice, how you treat people. So I want to go through some things that you could be doing or not doing that causes great tension or resistance with the people you're talking to.
Are you still there?
I guess he left us.
Well, he said he was having technical difficulties.
I'm sure he'll be back.
What is your name, by the way?
Debbie.
What's your last name? You want to connect on Facebook or something?
Sure, I don't go on Facebook very often. I try to go on there like twice a month.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm trying to get better at it. Yeah, it's my mom and I are doing this together, so it's Suzanne and Debbie Larson. But you can find me on Facebook. What is your name?
Jeff Morris. But you spell it G. But yeah, Debbie, I'll look you up on Facebook, or you can look me up as well.
Okay, you said Jeff with a G, right?
Right, and last.
All right, I'm back. Was I only one that got kicked off? Did we all get kicked off?
Nope, just you.
Oh, man. It's not my day for technology. It's like the second time. Anyway, where did we leave off?
The cold brick wall of resistance.
Okay. Well, remember the 95%. And let's look at the communication process for a second. We like to think that they're remembering everything that we say, but here are the cold, hard facts. That when we monitor a persuasion scenario and the persuader talks about 10 product features or benefits, and then we go back, 10 minutes later and find out how many they remember, here's the brutal hard numbers. Only 10% of the people will remember 7 to 10 of those things. 32% will remember 4 to 6, but 58%, the majority, will only remember 1 to 3. And a lot of them will remember one or two things that you didn't even mention, okay, which is a challenge sometimes in the persuasion process. So let's go through some of those things that you're doing or saying that cause that resistance in your prospects. The first one is, you've heard me say before, is the vomit, okay? You vomit the 110 reasons, the 32 reasons, the 4 reasons, whatever it is, why they should use your product or service. That sucks the life out of people. That is over-persuading. You're not listening. You're talking too much. And that's not how persuasion's done. When you learn to ask the right questions, you can help them persuade themselves. Great persuaders tend to ask a lot more questions and do a lot more listening. Anybody can go out and vomit the 32 reasons they should join your company, sell their home, do whatever it is, do business with you. That is a huge one. That is a big complaint. Remember, I get to talk to people after they've already lied to you. This one's a huge factor. You need to help them persuade themselves. And as I go through these, try to pick the one that you can work on this week. The next one that causes a lot of resistance is the fear of rejection. Well, what if they say no? What if you get your feelings hurt? You're afraid to push too hard? Now, you have to understand, what's the motto? Some will, some won't, so what? Who's next? They're not rejecting you as a person, as a human being. Maybe they're rejecting your offer, and that's okay. But if you fear every time you talk to somebody, it changes your demeanor, it changes your presence, and it actually causes another brick in the brick wall of resistance, that fear of rejection. You have to go out there and give it your best. Do not have that fear of rejection. The next one, big complaint, is you're getting over-friendly, or basically you're getting too friendly too fast, too personal too fast. Maybe you're coming across as a little too outgoing. The challenge with that is that tends to clash with introverts. You might be coming across as a fake friend. And a lot of this is a lack of interpersonal skills, really reading people. Remember that you're supposed to persuade others how they want to be persuaded. And that's the big mistake that most people make, is they tend to persuade others how they like to chat and the gushy stories or talking about the families. And that's great for some people, but some people want to get right to the point. So you're getting too friendly too fast. Next one is desperation. When people sense that desperation, when people sense you need to make the sale or you need to persuade them or you need to influence them or you need to make the commission, people sense that. You have to understand, just because they don't call you on it doesn't mean they don't feel it. And sometimes they just feel it. They don't know what it is, but they feel that it's time to run. They want to get away from you. They don't like you. They don't trust you. And that could be from your sense of desperation. And you've seen that before. It's like blood in the water with sharks. You've had a persuader or a salesperson come up to you, and it was just so aggressive, and you could tell they needed the sell that you ran as fast as you could. You probably lied, too expensive, can't afford it, talk to my spouse, more information, but you still ran. Be very, very careful of that. Next one, another big complaint that causes resistance is a negative attitude. Maybe you're having a bad day, maybe something terrible happened to you. You have to understand that attitudes tend to be very contagious. Most people are like chameleons, and they absorb the attitudes of others. So if you have a negative attitude, they will develop a negative attitude. Very, very contagious. Understand, though, when you look at attitude, attitude comes from our expectations. So if you expect them not to buy, if you expect them not to open the door, if you expect them not to say yes, that's probably what you're going to get. Be very, very careful there. I know that life beats you up. I know some people will say no. I know some people will be rude. But top persuaders can adjust their attitude real fast. Next one is using the old school persuasion techniques that come across as slick or too fast talking or greasy or using those tired phrases like, what do I got to do to get you in a car today? Or even the going into someone's office and talking about the fish on the wall or the golf clubs. A lot of these old things that really just don't work anymore. That causes a lot of great resistance. People are more skeptical than ever before. They're bombarded with more persuasive messages than ever before. They're more educated than ever before. They have access to more information. So these do not work anymore. Closes don't work anymore. You've heard me say it before that closing techniques is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date. Okay? If they don't like you and they don't trust you, it doesn't matter. And an old school technique will cause a lot of great resistance. Another one is too much pressure. They feeling like they're pushed into a corner, that there's no other option. They do not like the pressure. Now, there's subtle ways to really apply some good pressure, to apply some great scarcity, but most people tend to do it in the wrong way. One great way around that is to offer people two or three different options so they feel like they're making a choice, and all those options are good for you. It's another way to reduce that pressure. When you back someone into a corner, that causes a lot of great resistance. Even though they need it, want it, like, and can afford it, even though you're trying to help them, even though you might be trying to save their home or get them into a great business, they will still resist you. Next one is deception. If you lie, a little dishonest, bend the truth, any of those things cause a lot of great resistance. Now, here's the challenge here. You think you're getting away with it because they don't call you on it. But any time they sense that you're doing any type of deception, they will resist you. Now, the hard thing about this, even though you're not deceiving them, but your body language says you are, be very careful there. You could be telling the truth, but you could come across as deceiving them. And then that's a no-brainer. We know that lying and deception causes people to run real fast. Another one is lack of enthusiasm. If they're not excited about your product, service, or idea, they're not going to be excited. Energy, passion, enthusiasm is very contagious. Now, a note here that's very important. When you meet someone for the first time, you need to mirror their energy, mirror their enthusiasm. You've all been approached by somebody, a friend or even a salesperson that had so much energy and it was just repelled you because it could have been the morning, you haven't had your coffee yet, it's just too much. So enthusiasm is good, but make sure you mirror their energy level, their enthusiasm, and then slowly bring them up. Although, if you don't, that could be another brick in the brick wall of resistance. Next one, excuses. People are tired of your excuses. Well, I couldn't do this, and couldn't do that. Take ownership. Very simple. Even if it's not, take ownership. Check your ego in at the door and say, I'm sorry. It's very simple. When you make excuses, that repels people. When you say, no, I'm sorry, my fault, even though maybe it wasn't your fault, you don't feel that it was, take ownership and you won't get that brick in your brick wall. Next one is when you tend to manipulate with the questions you use. Sometimes we see the backfire of people, wouldn't you agree if? And that feels very old school and manipulative to people. That is a big brick wall. People want to feel like they're making their own decision. And that's the key. If you remember, your goal as a great persuader is to help people persuade themselves, not to manipulate them or make them do what you want them to do. Another big one is we tend to prejudge. Talk about sucking the life out of yourself in your presentation. And we've all done this. They're not the type. Oh, they'll never do it. That's a waste of time. Why do I even call them? But the moment you prejudge them, it doesn't matter. But there's so many stories of people that prejudged and they lost a huge commission or a huge bonus or whatever it was. You can't prejudge. You have to understand, everybody you meet can do business with you or know somebody that can. The moment you prejudge, you're not going to get it anyway. You give everyone your heart and soul. You give everyone your best presentation. You never know. We see countless stories. I'll share a few with you. My wife used to sell furniture at a very high-end store in Seattle, Washington, when she was going through school, college. And this skinny little kid came in, looked like a kid, looked really young, wasn't dressed very well. And none of the seasoned sales reps wanted to help this person because, they're not going to buy. So one of the rookie salesmen went to help. And later they found out it was Bill Gates in the early years. And he's all two of those, three of those, four of those, the biggest sale the store has ever seen. I know people that buy construction equipment. These are million-dollar purchases. That come in dirty t-shirts and shorts and flip-flops just to see how people will treat them. We see this with car dealerships all the time. People show up, they don't look very nice, to see who will help them out. Be very careful. Don't prejudge. Next one, you want to turn them off real fast? Argue. Prove you're right. It feels good, but you've lost the ability to persuade. Wasn't it Ben Franklin that said the man convinced against opinion still? You can prove yourself right, but you can't persuade them. Again, check your ego in at the door. If you prove that they're wrong, it will backfire on you. Because let's talk about the human brain. The human brain always needs to be right. And if you prove them wrong, it's not going to help your ability to persuade them. Don't be argumentative. Next one, bothering people, big brick in the brick wall, is a lack of preparation. You're just going to go, you've done it before, why review, let's see how it turns out. This could be coming across as disorganized. This could be your lack of knowledge about the competition. This could be about your background about the company. That will turn people off faster than anything. You want resistance, you come across like you're just winging it, you're not prepared, that will kill you every time. Next one, and I know you don't mean to do this, is you come across as condescending. Nobody knows they're even doing this. This is one of the ones that you just don't know. You're coming across as condescending. And the big one here is the way you handle objections. You've heard the objection before. You cut them off mid-sentence because you have a great response. There is a big one right there. You'll come across as condescending. You have to remember, it is the first time they've ever voiced that objection. Let them finish. Then you respond to it. Otherwise, you'll come across as condescending. Next one, coming across as insincere. Insincere, like you don't really care. Again, you might not mean it, but again, the reality is you could be coming across that way. Be genuine. Truly care about people. You're there to serve them. Great persuaders are there to serve other people and help other people. Make it a win-win situation. Very important. Again, you're like, well, that's not me. Well, it could be. I want you to be open to that. Devious. When people say, oh, they're expecting my call. I've had people do that. Oh, they're expecting my call. Oh, I've talked to them before. And I met them at this so-and-so function, and that's a lie. It's very devious. Or they go to, let's say, for example, someone pulls up in your a car in your driveway and says, well, I just dropped this off. We don't have time to talk. Little things like that, very devious. Another brick in the brick wall. Another one is being too persistent. Now, persistence is a good thing, but there's a fine line between being persistent and being a pain in the butt, okay? You always want to make sure that there is some interest in there. People say you get, and this is what turns people off, is when you're persistent and they've lost interest. Another one, exaggeration. Hard to believe, people overpromise, false hope. Let me tell you something here, as we talked about, is everything you need to talk about needs to be believable. Always truthful, but not all truth is believable. So what that means is don't exaggerate and make sure they believe all your claims and all your testimonials. Next one is blame, covering up mistakes, somebody else's fault, being one-sided, bad-mouthing the competition, being late to an appointment will cause a lot of resistance. No diagnosis. What this means is that you have to understand that you're a consultant. And if you went to a doctor and you're sitting there on the parchment paper and the doctor opened the door and said, ah, swine flu, and they never even talked to you, that would probably offend you. You wouldn't like the doctor. Now, the doctor could be right. And this is what a lot of persuaders do, is they just kind of force things on people without asking the questions. Even if you know what's best for them, you still need to ask the question. One size does not fit all. And the big one is no follow-through. Big complaint. If you say you're going to send out an email, get more information, give them a website, that one's a huge complaint. Every single one of these causes a large brick in the brick wall resistance. And our goal is to break through that and to understand how to work with people and how to deal with people. Critical, critical for your success. Now, I went through a lot of these, but I wanted to make sure you could understand some of these, and hopefully picked out one or two that you can work on this week that will really help you out. With that being said, are there any questions about anything we talked about today or things you're running into? Is there anybody still on the phone?
Absolutely.
Okay, just checking.
Yes.
Now, I fire these at you pretty fast, but I want you to start thinking about it. I think the big one, if I were to pick one, well, let me just go over a couple of the top ones that you can choose this week to work on. I would either go, be careful of the vomit. When you can learn to ask questions, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. And the prejudging. You need to treat everyone like they can purchase, they can work with you. That was, so either the vomit or the prejudge or getting too friendly too fast. So let me ask this question. How do you know if you're getting too friendly too fast?
Maybe they start backing away from you when you're talking to them?
Yes, that would be definitely one. They're backing away. They could be looking at their watch. They could be putting barriers in between you or going behind their desk. You have to understand, when you're dealing with an analytical person, sometimes they don't want to know about your family or about the weather. They want to get right to the point. A lot of people, too, will get very tense if you touch anything on their desk or if you sit in their favorite chair. It's just how some people are. So here's the shift. It used to be where you'd sit down and develop a relationship with the person. It almost doesn't work anymore until they know that there's some type of benefit for them to talk to you. I wouldn't waste a lot of time on your idle chit-chat, because you're talking three times too much. People complain you're getting too friendly too fast. But once there's a benefit, once they know that there's a reason to talk to you, then you can spend some time getting to know them or having them get to know you. But if you just start with that for a lot of people are like, I don't have time for this, and they just tune out automatically. Any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
You talked about being condescending and how we don't even know it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're telling us we're condescending, but what kind of clues should we look for there?
The big clues would be if they asked a question or had an objection, and then they never ask one again, that's a huge indicator. And we've mentioned this before, that when they ask a question or have an objection, you say, thank you. You know, I should have explained it better. You're checking your ego in at the door. So if you're only getting one question in the beginning, and they feel like you were condescending, they won't ask any more questions or have any more objections. They're mentally, they have moved on. That is probably the biggest red flag. You might see it in their face, too, to where they're disconnecting from you. There'll be less eye contact. Their shoulders will not... Let me explain it this way. When someone's connected with you, their shoulders will square up with you. But if you've turned them off, if you've been condescending, their shoulders will turn, or their feet will turn like they're trying to escape from you. Those would be the big indicators. Body language, and then no more questions. And another one, too, if you ask your questions, you'll see the answers get a lot shorter. You'll say, oh, yes, no, maybe, or I'll think about it. Really short questions where they've tuned off mentally and they don't want anything to do with you.
Thank you.
You bet. Any other questions?
No.
I'm good.
Let me just get one coming in. We'll just cover here real fast. What you think, if you have any more, is part of what we talked about, you know, when you make excuses or being one-sided, the challenge is this, is if you ever demean the competition, say negative things about your competition, it hurts you just as much as it hurts them. That's important to understand when we talk about excuses or the way you come across blame. One way to handle, well, I guess we put it out to the group, if it's between you and somebody else, and you know that somebody else is not a good person, and maybe they don't do good business, how can you warn them without losing that connectivity? Any ideas?
Refer them to a third party, independent
okay, good.
Of themselves.
Yeah, refer them to a third party or someone else they work with, or tell them to make sure they call the references and give them references too. Let someone else say something negative because you don't want to do it because, you know, you have something to gain. And we've just seen it too many times with people badmouth the competition. It hurts you just as much as them. So if you do need to warn them and you know they're unscrupulous or something, give them a way to find out for themselves. All right. Any other questions out there? You guys are easy on me today.
Pretty straightforward stuff.
It is. And so I would take a look at that and be more aware when you're talking to people this week. Are you connecting? Are you disconnecting? And we can talk a little bit more about that next week. Is there any main topics you guys want to cover over the next couple weeks? Anything on your mind?
Do you still hold these calls for the holidays, Kurt?
You know, that's a good question. Is this... So is next week's not a holiday, is it? I'll be here for sure next. Well, we'll have a call next week. Sometimes we have. Yeah, I think so. And then if you're not here, we can record it because Thanksgiving's not until that next day. So November will hold all the calls, and let's look at December. Yeah, I think we will.
Okay.
We will. And again, if you can't make it, they're always recorded, and you'll be able to access those. So everyone have a great week. Make sure you work on the things we talked about today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kurt.
You bet. Good night, everyone. You bet.
Have a good